Welcome back, everyone. This is Joe Van coming at you with episode 8 of The Secret Podcast. Okay, with me today is guest number 9. Without any introductions into this curious character, we'll just jump straight into it. First and foremost, guest number 9, please say hello.
Hello.
All right, so first question, what is your profession?
Profession.
Yes.
So I work in corporate banking, more specifically pension fund management and servicing for institutional investors.
Very nice. And so
very riveting stuff.
As far as corporation, company to personal goes, is it more on the corporation side of things?
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, the corporations administer it personally.
And data flows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, true. So with that in mind, what is the easiest and hardest part of your job?
So the easiest part of my job, I listen to podcasts at work. I think that would be the easiest part.
Not a lot of people can do that.
I'm
lucky enough to be able to do that. But
there are times where I obviously can't do that. But
yeah.
Obviously, that would be the easiest. The hardest is dealing with people, I think.
A lot of complications.
Yeah. You know, some people are easier to deal with than others. But, you know, occasionally you'll run into difficult people. Yeah. And I guess that would be kind of difficult.
And so how does your regular work day go then? Like, do you have most of it where you're behind a desk, or are you on the field? You're always zoned about?
A little bit of both. Usually it's behind a desk. But I am constantly on the phone. I am constantly dealing with clients. Sometimes I have to do some client facing too. I have to get dressed up and wear a tie for that.
Very nice. That's cool. Yeah, I'm jealous of that. If I could do any job where I get to like wear a suit or be fancy in any way, I love it.
I love wearing suits, man. Yeah. I love it.
Just feels so good. I don't know what it is, man. It's like certain things feel so natural to certain people. For me, I love wearing suits. And like, I rode a horse for the first time, I think 3 years ago.
I've never done that.
And it felt so natural as soon as I did it. I'm like, I feel like I was meant to do this. Like, humanity was meant to ride horses. It's like, it feels so natural. It was a really weird feeling.
Yeah. Destined for it.
Yeah, like, as soon as that happened, I'm like, oh my God, I love this. It's like, I haven't done this my whole life, but I love riding horses. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if that's weird or not, or if anybody else gets that feeling, but... Because, like, some people, like, can't get onto the horse, or it feels awkward, or they feel scared, like, trying to control it or whatever.
Yeah.
But for me, it was, like, so natural and easy, and, yeah.
I'm sure there are things that people feel that they're destined to do the first time they do them.
Yeah.
You may not be riding a horse.
So easy. Yeah,
but, you know.
And so, what do you think comes naturally to you with your work? Is it the numbers? Is it the organization?
Definitely.
All that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I've always had a passion for math.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the numbers, the organization, Excel.
I never got into Excel. So maybe
I'm
when
so
I do
sorry.
That, it'll come naturally to me.
I hope so, man.
Excel it looks like hieroglyphics for me. I'm like, I'm not, you know.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun. I love Excel. I could talk about Excel for the entire podcast if you wanted me to.
Not this time, but for the second roundabout, and actually this is for the audience too, at first, I didn't really know what I was doing for it, but I knew that it was going to be different than half of the podcast being personal questions, half of it being opinion questions. So last night, actually, I drew up a list of what I wanted to do, and I can give you all a sneak peek right now.
Ooh.
So it would just be topics of conversation rather than an interview-based thing. So I would give it completely up to the interviewee, whether or not they want to talk about personal things or topics. So the personal things would just be like friendships, romantic relationships, dangerous encounters, like things that have happened in one's life that are interesting stories to talk about. Or the other one would be topics if someone doesn't want to get too personal. And then, you know, blockbusters, music, science, spirituality, thought experiments, history, sports, all that kind of stuff. Whatever the person wants to choose. And then obviously it's for an hour, so it's like you could talk about one topic for 10 minutes or another topic for half an hour. So that's what I got going on right now as far as the second round goes, which still won't be for a while because I want to interview new people constantly. But as soon as I do decide to get people back on for a second round, that's what it'll be on.
That's awesome, man.
But on to the next question. What has been the scariest or most dramatic moment of working where you work? Do you have a story?
No, honestly, I think that, I mean, most of the stuff that happens is,
pretty well,
you know, relatively expected.
Nobody starts a fight.
Nobody.
Yeah.
There's never been any fist fights or anything like that.
Okay. That's good. It's good when there isn't something like that.
Ideally, it doesn't happen, you know. But yeah, I mean, nothing really scary or traumatic other than, so actually at this place, I'm in a new position now, but a few years ago, maybe 2013, 2014, I interned there in a different department. That was more accounting focused, which was the first kind of run of my professional career. My plan was to pursue that as a career, but obviously it didn't end up going that way. The most traumatic part about that would have been the hours. Sometimes the hours were kind of traumatic and long and miserable and cold. My old manager would always get these weird spicy shawarma plates for dinner and
what, like, without your consent, he's like, this is what you're eating.
I was down, man, I love shawarma, but the first time he got them, he made them, you know, he ordered like, he's like, oh, make it extra spicy. And then as he sees me like crying over this, he's like, oh, can you not handle it? And I'm like, no, honestly, I can't. This
it's
is like too
I'm
spicy.
Eating it because it's food, I guess, but otherwise.
Yeah. But I think for some reason he thought I was joking because we were laughing about it. And so he just kept doing it every single time.
It's like, dude, sometimes there's such a thing as a nervous laugh, right? It's not because the person.
It was very much a nervous laugh. It was,
where you're like, I don't like this.
I had to keep those little, this is so embarrassing. I had to keep those little, you know, when you like buy coffee, you can get those little, creamers and milk.
Yeah,
so I have a bunch of little tiny milk ones at my desk.
Yeah, nice.
Because milk is obviously really good for suppressing spicy.
No way, okay.
Yeah.
So you adapted, I guess, to the situation.
Yeah, until you realize that milk goes bad and you can't leave it in your desk.
No, you can't put it in the fridge.
Did not think about this.
I think I've only ever had bad milk once, and it was back in 2015. I was in Germany hanging out with my second uncle, even though apparently it's not called that. So he's a generation above me, but as soon as you get into the seconds category of extended family, they're just called cousins. So even though he's a 50-year-old, he was my second cousin. But I call it second uncle, even though that's incorrect. So I was hanging out with my second uncle and then his niece and nephew, which I road tripped with from Belgium. And he had milk in his fridge, but he lives alone and he's very analytical. Like he works engineering for, what's it called? Siemens? Is that a company? Engineering company?
Siemens?
Yeah, Siemens. Is that right?
Oh, Siemens. I've heard of Siemens. Yeah.
Yeah, Siemens.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and so like his whole place was decked out because he was like just has an engineering mind, I guess. Right. So he created all this cool stuff and he's got like magnet in a wall that you don't even know it's there, but you like slap something up against the wall and it stays. And it's super cool. Like his whole place is tricked out with all these neat little things. But he's out of his house a lot. So like we were all there and he's like, you know, giving us like the breakfast and stuff. And he's like, oh, the eggs are bad. Gotta get more eggs. And so he was constantly doing this. Everything in his fridge like had gone bad. And then so I pour myself some milk and I drink it and there's chunks. And I was like, and like looked at it. Cause in Europe, their milk is a lot more different. It's all boxed. They don't actually have it in bags like we do. Or I guess there's still tons of people here who have it in boxes, but for them, it's just boxed milk because they have cows literally right next door to them. It's not as far away as it is here. And yeah,
don't
so
they like crates too. Like they drop crates off at doors sometimes. Like I know.
I'm sure that's more old school than nowadays. But,
of course.
Yeah, I'm sure in areas they do that, but he was in a denser area.
Okay.
And
cool.
And yeah, and so like it was all chunky. And it was like, oh yeah, normally they only last a week because the milk, like they leave it out. So it was just a bad experience. But yeah, so I've only had to deal with bad milk once, but I feel your pain. And you're like, that tastes a little sour.
I was like, tastes like this is interesting tea.
Yeah.
As it turns out, I don't think you can call it tea at that point.
No, maybe something else, a creature.
Yeah.
A fuzzy, chunky creature.
Yeah, fuzzy is a good way to put it. Thanks.
All right, anyway, on to the next question. So this is still work-related, but favorite kind of questions. Are you a working person at heart?
Yes.
Given all the free time, you'll like create projects for yourself.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep yourself busy.
I think that I've always been like that. You know, I think like I find that a lack of work, a lack of productivity would make me go crazy. And you know, there are obvious exceptions. Like after a particularly bad week, all I want to do on a Saturday is just like
nothing.
Melt into a couch
yeah.
and like watch Netflix. or whatever it is.
And, and plus, you can go away, like, to the Rocky Mountains.
Or that, yeah.
You're not going to get, like, completely bogged down.
Exactly.
Work, so even though you're there, you're, like, trying to...
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, no, I would say so. I like to create work for myself if I can.
And plus, yeah, that's a good mentality to have.
Yeah.
To the youth of the world, right?
It's like, listen up, kids.
Imprint on them, yeah.
This is for all the kids.
All
make
the
sure,
kids out there.
Make sure you're working.
Stay busy. Get busy working or work busy dying.
That's not how it goes. That should be how it goes.
Yeah, yeah, that's the new way. Okay, so switching subjects now. What is your relationship status?
Single and ready to mingle.
Oh! Very nice. Okay, so with that in mind, because I think I've only been asking this question to married people with children so far, so you're going to be the first who's single.
Well, I do have children.
Oh, okay. You have many children.
I do have many children, but I'm not married.
It's illegal.
I am single, but I do have children.
Okay.
How many kids? 20.
Oh, you have 20 kids. Yes, I have 20
kids.
Did you stop at 20, or is that just coincidental?
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay, so did they just come out, or what? So pressure.
Doug, do you mean, have I stopped at 20?
Did you stop at 20 kids, or are you just had kids yesterday? And there
could be more kids? Well, actually, 21 is due today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're a busy man. Okay, so the question I would then follow up with that is, what is the greatest joy about being single?
Well, I don't want to frame this as, I don't want to frame this badly. I like being single because I'm just like enjoying myself, you know, and I think that
you don't have to prioritize your time.
Yeah. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if I wasn't, I would prioritize my time and there would be nothing wrong with that. I think that I'm just in a place right now where it's like, I'm good.
You're working.
Working,
you got friends,
just like hanging out, you know, like it's not necessarily a priority of mine, but I'm not opposed to it. So there's no...
You're like
a
bachelor in paradise. You're open to it, but at the same time...
Yeah, except I'm not a...
The right person.
Not a fuckboy. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah, no, you can fucking swear on this if you want. Just, you know,
okay.
You just can't say the A word. It's just ASS. Otherwise, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
That's a no-go.
If I hear that word, I turn into a donkey. It's like a curse word, and I transform. It's terrifying. But anyway, okay, so the greatest joy about being single is time-based things. It's being able to work with yourself, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What would you say is the greatest joy of having 21 children? What is it?
Well,
you get to impart your wisdom, or you just
Imparting wisdom on all 20 of my children, not 21.
Okay, but it's coming. Yeah.
But it's coming.
Okay.
And when 21's out,
then
you better believe they're going to be wise as heck.
Nice. Every one of them.
Well,
all investments into a good future. You're going to be rich.
Absolutely.
At least one of you is going to be millionaire. Yeah. That's what I think. I would stop at 21. I think I would do that too.
I think it's a good number.
Kids,
I think.
Yeah. That's enough numbers where even if like the majority of them end up homeless and like, you know, on opioids and stuff, at least you'll have a few that are millionaires.
Yeah. And I also think that like 20 is a good number that, you know, they can all be super close, and it's just like there's no like complications. It's just like everyone is super tight knit.
Yeah.
The minute you get into the 20s, it gets difficult to keep track of all of them.
The community starts to break apart.
You can never go to restaurants. How are you supposed to maintain
order?
You have to
build a village. The house isn't big enough.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta upsize. You know, you really gotta upsize. Yeah. And so my thing is cap at 21.
Okay. It's like playing cards.
Yeah, just
21,
like,
you lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, yeah, it's like Vegas.
Right.
Vegas, baby.
Yeah. Okay, so with topic of children in mind, what was your childhood like?
Pretty sick, honestly.
Was it busy? Did you have 20 siblings? Or was it a small family?
No, unfortunately, not 20 siblings. I had one sibling, my younger sister. She's about 3 years younger than me. We're close. She's cool. Yeah, I mean, we were pretty lucky. We both grew up in Oakville. We moved around a couple times.
But, like, were you born and raised in Oakville?
Yeah, both born and raised here. Yeah, yeah.
Raised in
We briefly lived with our grandparents, like myself, my sister, and my parents. We briefly lived with our grandparents. Then we, you know, moved around a little bit, went to a couple different schools, finally settled down where we are now. And, you know, I I feel like I only really keep in touch with the people that I met in high school onward.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like I don't totally keep in touch with, you know, the elementary school people and the middle school people of my life.
Yeah. And plus, I feel like that, like, fragmenting makes it a little harder to keep in touch with people, too. Because for me, it was just elementary school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 8 and then 9 to 12.
So. Yeah, no, me too.
Like, but with that being said, it was also, I did preschool when I was 3 and 4 before doing JK and SK.
Right.
And I, like, obviously I don't remember that time, but for Halloween, I remember this one guy dressed up as Superman, and I still hang out with him to this day, but it was, like, years later. It's, like, I vaguely remembered that, and then it was, like, we were in elementary school together, but I didn't really notice until, like, grade 5, I think. And yeah, we still hang out to this day. If you know who you are, because I'm not going to name you, you know, just keep staying thick. You'll know what that means.
Keep staying anyway, thick?
Yeah, stay nice and thick. Okay, next question. What were your most formative years? Is it in your childhood, high school?
I would say that my most formative years... Okay, I would like to give you, like, a period of time.
Yes.
So, I guess the beginning of this period of time would probably be late high school.
Okay, yeah.
Grade 10, 11. Yeah. Grade 10, 11 was when a couple things happened for me that kind of shaped my life, so to speak. I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, firstly.
Yeah.
Which
is that late in the game? I don't know anything about it, unfortunately.
Well,
so is that normally how it happens, or was it rare?
Sometimes.
Okay.
The thing with type 1 is that it's completely hereditary. You get type 1 from...
the gene pool.
From the gene pool, exactly. Yeah. So I guess I always had it, but it only really started, you know? I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know the science completely behind it. I would appreciate if anyone does...
Yeah, jump on the comment section. If one exists. I don't actually know.
I think that was actually... You can leave a review. Leave it in the reviews. Rate this podcast, and then also tell me how I got diabetes.
Yeah.
5 stars. Do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I diagnosed in high school. So, yeah, like I said, from the gene pool.
And obviously, yeah, that is going to change things.
Of course. You know, it was traumatic when it first happened. I was in the hospital for 4 days. Like, I had no idea what the hell was going
to
happen.
Well,
like,
what was it? Was it a fainting sensation? What does it do to you?
Well, at this time, it was a fainting sensation. It was more like I was experiencing high blood sugars, extremely high blood sugars, to the point where, like, I was, like, you know, drinking a lot of water, peeing a lot.
But that wasn't helping.
And it was just,
you,
like, to the point.
You don't know.
Exactly, right? I had no idea. No one did. And so at that point, it was kind of just like, take him to the doctor, have him check his blood, and go from there. They took a blood test, and I was, like, higher than I've ever been in my entire life. And so then they were just like, okay, you need to go to the hospital right now.
Yeah.
Get your butt to emerge. And so I'm just sitting in the back seat of my car, like, what the hell is going on? And my parents are like, it's fine.
Yeah.
So... traumatic, you know, 4 days in the hospital, just talking with nurses, getting blood tests.
Yeah.
You know, I really had no idea what was going on. And it wasn't until we had this one nurse come in from a different hospital. She spent a lot of time with me there. She came into the room and she was, like, really, really, really reassuring and just, like, kind of walked me through everything. I thought, you know, one of the big things at this time, I was really big into playing hockey. I played hockey.
Yeah.
In an organized league here in Oakville. And my big concern was that I would never be able to play again. You know, like I at that time, obviously right now it's like, that's ridiculous. Of course you can. But at that time, I'm like,
you don't know what the symptoms are. Or
I don't know what this is going to mean for the rest of my life. What, like,
yeah,
is this going to change?
You can't run
me
anymore later.
Exactly. I thought, like, what the hell? Yeah. So she walked in, immediately debunked that. Which was, like, immediately right there, I'm like, okay, you are officially my favorite human.
Thank you so much.
Please keep talking. Please don't stop talking. And so she really helped me through that. And, you know, 4 days later, I got released, and then I started, you know, owning it, you know, taking care of it myself, using my good buddy Microsoft Excel to kind of track what I was eating, track my sugars, react accordingly. And I think it was a turning point in my life because it really taught me how to – well, it really taught me that I wanted ultimately to be in control of my own health outcomes. Because I don't want to be in the situation where I'm in that backseat of a car, like, helpless and, like, in the dark about what the heck is going on. You know, like, I had no idea, and I was terrified. So that was a turning point, you know, like, that was a big formative moment for me. Like, I really grew up a bit there.
Yeah, like, that is a super serious thing, because I've never been in danger before. Like, I've had serious injuries, but, yeah, I've never been in a position where they're like, if you don't check your diet, you can, like, you know, be kaput. So that's,
I would say that's the biggest one. I think that's a really big one.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah. And I guess this period of my formative years kind of carried on through university, where I grew up, kind of, like, learned a lot about myself, you know, went through the kinds of things that most people our age at that time have to go through in order to grow up.
Yeah.
Kind of capping off in about 2014 when I moved into a place in Toronto with my best friends.
Yeah.
Where it was just kind of like a culmination of
like
maturity and independence. And
but were you guys slobs or were you clean?
We it was like a mix of both. Okay. You know, I think
we guys specifically are usually disgusting when they have a house of their friends. Because I never have, but, like, I've always been a clean person. And then anytime I would go to St. Catharines to see a friend of mine, yeah, it was gross. He did not take care of the place at all.
No, at this point, you know, we were all, like, pretty much done school.
Yeah.
We were adults about it. You know, if it was dirty, whoever made it, the mess will clean it up.
Okay.
Very straightforward.
There was accountability then. It wasn't absolutely just like there a was pile of dishes.
Total accountability. And more importantly, I think I became a lot closer with them through that period too. So,
because a lot of the times the opposite happens. You end up hating someone when you become
a and so that was something I was concerned about. But obviously nothing to be concerned about. No
exact
way.
Exact opposite happened. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Dope. Okay, very good. So now on to the next question. Do you enjoy art? And what kinds of art do you do? So that could be music, movies, still art, paintings, and drawings, sculptures. What catches your eye, first and foremost?
Well, obviously, may not align very well with my previous answer to my career, but I mean, I don't think I'm a very artistic person by nature. Having said that,
you don't create art.
I don't create art, but I consume it so much.
Yeah,
like I love music. I love movies, TV. Still art is incredible. I love still art. You know,
what would be some examples?
Well, actually, photography. I'm not obviously very good at taking photos. I take them on my phone sometimes. I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, you get whatever you can with the lens.
Yeah, the solid focus. But I was recently on a trip with a good pal of mine who taught me some nuances and subtleties in photography and taught me how to really capture a photo perfectly. And it really made me appreciate how much goes into that and how much goes into still art, you know, like sculptures. Sculptures are crazy. Sculptures are insane.
They are literally insane.
Like, the concept of a sculpture is nuts.
Yeah, I could literally never do it. Because you have an image in your head. And then you start, you just
like chip away at whatever.
But like, I would like it concave the person's skull if I'm trying to make like the shape of a person. I go, oh, now I ran out of, so now I have to make his whole body smaller. Like, I'd be terrible at that.
How do you even do it?
I don't know. It's literally magic to me. It's just magical nonsense. But yeah.
I mean, I'm also really into like paintings and stuff too. Like,
which is like more abstract or more like landscapes. Contemporary?
Yeah.
Landscapes. Yeah.
I love a good landscape.
Yeah. Because it's gorgeous. It's nature, man.
Nature's
it's like,
thick.
You know, it's in our bones. I feel like everybody's got to enjoy landscape shots, you know? Like, even if they're not passionate about it, everybody enjoys landscape.
I mean, it's tough, though, right? Because sometimes landscape shots are boring.
Yeah.
You gotta find ways to make landscape shots exciting.
Use lots of color, right?
Maybe.
The bluest blues, the greenest greens.
Maybe. You know, it depends where you are. It depends on, you know, there's a bunch that goes into it. And, and like I said, I learned a lot about that, on the trip when my buddy was just showing me some, I was out west. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, a lot of stuff out there, a lot of mountains, lots of greenery, lots of wildlife.
Lots of landscapes.
Yeah. Tons of land and they're all scaped different ways.
Definitely lots of land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Trees.
I know. And yeah, when it comes to trees, like when I think of where the best place to live would be just country-wise, you can't not choose Canada.
We
got them all.
Agree.
It's like, because you got the vine country down south, you got like the more rocky areas, like the tundra, like we have it all. I think, like, even though it's not the same as America, because America, I think, has every type of landscape, because they have deserts, they have marshes, they have like super foresty places, and they have mountainous areas. Like, it does have the most that a country could have, but it's something about like the four seasons that we have with the winter and everything and the grit of it and pine trees and evergreens and all that kind of, that look I just love so much. I don't know what it is. Maybe I was conditioned that way because I was born here, and if I was born in like Japan, maybe I'd love Japan's landscape the most.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
Like I mean, I love Japan's landscape, but not compared to Canada.
Yeah, maybe if you were born on the Antarctica research base, maybe you'd love Antarctica.
There you go. I just love nothing but white.
Yeah.
And finding it hard
just
to
like
breathe.
Endless snow and ice.
Yeah, just the apocalypse. I'm sure I love it. Yeah, but. So, on to the next question. How are you with violence?
Violence?
Yes.
Not a fan.
What about for entertainment?
Not big on it. No. For entertainment, yeah.
Like, do you like John Wick movies?
I've actually never seen the John Wick movies.
Have you seen The Raid?
I have heard of The Raid.
What violent movies have you seen? I don't know. The Expendables? That's more cartoony.
But... I actually haven't seen The Expendables either. Oh, man. This is going south.
Action movies.
Impossible. Yeah, okay. I just saw the new one. Yeah. Insane. Like,
yeah,
so insane. Tom Cruise is going to die filming a Mission Impossible movie. Book it.
Yeah, imagine that. He does die, and they just keep the footage, and they put it in there. He's like, ah! I'm like, oh, my God! He's just actually dead. Like, no, this is what he wanted. He put it in his will.
I think the next big stunt is him going to be, is him resurrecting himself.
Yeah, he'll just jump
screen.
Off of a cliff, die, and then get back up.
You'll be great.
Yeah, your neck was snapped. He goes,
just like pop.
Come on,
back
let's go. Yeah, but oh, okay. What about other types of like MMA?
Not a fan. I just think it's like. I don't know. It just feels like barbaric. It feels like barbaric and very like primal and like
it's very dumb. It's animal mind.
Yeah. I mean,
just see black and go to town.
There's other ways to resolve conflict.
Well, no, but for that it's for sport. But yeah, like in real world situations, yeah, violence is disgusting.
Yeah.
Completely avoidable. Like if someone like I don't even know what the scenarios are that why people get into fights most of the time. They're either it's mental health problems or whatnot, but like a situation.
Well,
wise,
wait,
so much
do you mean like
why
do wars start?
No.
Or like why do
people... individual fights?
Oh well,
like let's say someone cheats on someone, and then so the two guys go on a brawl. It's like shouldn't you nod and be like, "Yo, sucks that we're in this situation, but you know, if you want to bang my girl, then I'm out or something. You don't have to fight about it."
Yeah, there's probably a better way to deal with it than, okay, I guess now we have to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And display our manhood and our masculinity.
Yeah, because it's definitely a more masculine thing. You don't see a lot of girls fighting. They do still in the millions, but comparatively to guys, it's like clearly a chemical thing. Like, we got testosterone pumping through us, just making us angry all the time. It's great. It's great and it's bad. It's like, I enjoy aggression, but I don't use it to hurt other people, you know? It's like when I exercise, I use it then. Like, I'll listen to like rage music and just fucking like go to town, you know?
Just lift aggressively.
Yeah, or driving and stuff, just listening to crazy music.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love listening to crazy music when I drive.
Yeah, so I'm about
when I cruise.
I'm about violence as a concept, but obviously not when it comes to hurting other people who wouldn't ultimately deserve it, right? Like, there is the, like, straight revenge aspect of, like, someone steals someone's purse, and then, like three blocks away is, like, some, or not blocks away, let's say a block away, someone witnesses it, and they just so happen to know Kung Fu, and they just knock the guy out who stole the purse. It's like, of course that was deserved, and it feels good watching stuff like that, because you're like, boom, you deserve that.
Yeah.
But as soon as it gets more in the gray area of maybe, like, why is this happening, then obviously it's just bad.
Yeah.
What about, like, horror movies? Do you enjoy stuff
horror
like
movies?
Saw?
Oh,
Friday
I love
13th.
Horror movies.
Great. So you like gore in that sense?
Oh, wait. Hold on. We're talking about... Sorry, I thought we jumped. Okay, no. So, That's purely entertainment. You know, that's just like...
And you can tell it's fake.
Yeah.
People aren't actually getting hurt.
People
yeah.
are not actually getting their, you know, heads ripped off. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's cool, I guess. I'm cool with that. And, like, most of the movies I mean, not most, but, like, a lot of the movies I watch end up having some some degree of violence. Yeah. But
and you can separate that.
Yes, absolutely. I can definitely separate that. And I think it's very important that people separate violence they see on TV and in video games and in all media and what they should be doing in real life. Because that's just...
And I think most people do. So the whole argument that video games make kids violent is completely wrong.
I agree. That's just a silly argument.
Like, kids are violent. It's like, you know, how do you explain violence before video games existed? What caused it? Well, like...
chicken or the egg.
Yeah, exactly. If violence is the egg, then it was the egg, you know? Anyway, actually, as far as that argument goes, obviously...
I was actually about to ask you about that. What's your take?
So evolution is a very slow gradation of mutation. So I think it would be the egg, because that's where the most mutation would happen, with a fetus becoming an embryo. I don't know which comes first. I think embryo and fetus mean the same thing, or it's different stages. But either way, that's where the most mutation can happen, because if something were to crossbreed... Like, donkeys and horses can mate, but not like zebras and horses. So there is a degree of variability in mutation where an actual baby would come out of it. So it's like with chickens, we're thinking way back to the dinosaur times. It would have been like whatever eventually created a chicken, I would think it happened slowly and there wasn't that switch, but the egg. That's going to be my answer. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, I guess. Yeah, that's
where the most change would happen. It's not the egg. It's not going to happen after the form. So, you know, two things that are slightly different mate, but they're still compatible enough DNA-wise to make an egg with an embryo in it, then that's where the most change is going to happen. So it's not a straight thing. Evolution's very slow, and it is millions of layers of, you know, gradation, but that's what it is. Anyway, yeah. So on to the next question. Do you believe in destiny?
No.
All right. Straight answer. Love it.
Getting right to it. I think that I think where it concerns, you know, the fate and free will argument.
Yeah.
You know, the destiny and free will argument. I feel like against each other. Of course. Yeah. You know, I feel like.
Actually, okay. How about this? I'll put it in this way, because, the idea of free will is that we get to make our own choices, but there are so many things that get tacked on top of that that maybe change it. Like, let's say you have depression or bipolarism or schizophrenia or something like that. That's going to affect the decisions you make, and that might actually lower your options of free choice that you can make, because of those things, you won't maybe talk to that girl or apply for that job. So it's like your choices are actually limited based off of whatever mental conditioning you have. And then aside from that, you also have hereditary things, like if you're an alcoholic or if you're more violence prone or whatever.
But do you not think the hereditary things also stemmed in a way from free will? Like at the very top of this, at the very, very top?
Like your parents didn't know what you
mean. Like,
were to come into play. Because they're side effects.
Like, yeah.
Mental conditions are side effects from what would otherwise be the norm.
That's fair.
Because I would say, like, some people might say, hey, what is normal, right? Like, people just create institutions where they say something's normal. It's like, no, there is a norm. Like, you can't say bipolarism should be placed on the same wavelength as someone who just has mild anxiety and depression. It's like, clearly mild anxiety and depression ought to be the norm to seek out, because I think that's the perfect thing. Not to have no anxiety and no depression, because I'm pretty sure people like that are like sociopaths and psychopaths. So it's part of the human condition to be a little depressed and a little anxious. But otherwise, the other things are handicaps. So yeah, I would say as far as destiny goes, it's like we have all these predetermined things put on us that we didn't choose. We also didn't choose where we were born, what time we were born in. So we're also subject to being a product of our time and our environment and our neighborhood and whatever, and the parents that raise us, right? So it's like you don't have much of a choice to be a Catholic. If you were raised by two Catholic parents, you're going to do it because they make you go to church or whatever. And then later you can leave the church, or they will have made...
You can leave the church. That's, you're doing that on your own volition. On your own terms, exactly.
But
I think that there's so much room for movement here. Like, you can't just say that, like, okay, so a pre-existing condition of some kind, of any kind, in your life ultimately limits your choices and limits what you can do.
Yeah.
So what is that, right? Are you... Okay, well, mental hurdles, like, whatever it is, you know, like... Your environment, you know, anything like that, whatever ends up, you know, kind of limiting your end games.
Yeah.
You're still picking in there. You know, like there's still movement out of those end games at some point. You still have the power to make
making process.
Exactly. But
I will also say this. Your decision-making process is based off of your past experiences. Because that's what a personality is the culmination of the experiences you've had in your life is who you are. That's like that lump of several things.
I mean, of course, they have
25 years of experience is your personality. And then that personality is this part, the frontal cortex, which is the decision-making. And then the rest of your brain is also conscious. So it's like this part is supposed to be you, the frontal decision-making aspect, the awake part of you. But that's like every decision you make and every thought that you have, like you don't like someone when they walk in a room, you don't know why, you just get bad vibes from them. That's because of some subconscious thing happening, right? Where maybe someone who looked like that person was a dick to you when you were like an SK. And you don't remember, but it's like your brain conditions you in certain ways. Like you know, you love strawberry ice cream and that's so unique and so you. But it's like you would never... Like, you're never going to not like strawberry ice cream because of whatever experiences happen to you when you're forming, when you're developing as a child. So all of the decisions we make are based off of all the experiences we had in our past. So we're kind of a slave to our past. So we're always going to choose one thing or another. Like, if you know, I was given an option to have $1 million, but never to be able to have to love anyone again, or find the woman of my dreams... I mean, if I found her already or not, but then constantly be struggling with money, it's like, I'm going to choose love every single time. I don't even have the option.
You're making that choice.
Yeah, but I don't actually have the choice to make the other choice. Why not? I'm never going to want that.
Right. But the point is that you have the choice.
Yeah. But I'm never going to want $1 million and no love, no matter what.
Right. That's because of your past experience. That's because
I don't even have a choice to say that one. It's like, I always want that. So our wants are predicated off of our past experiences too.
But the fact that we want things and are willing to act on them by definition just means that we have the ability inherently to just choose between them. You know, like you are at the end of the day choosing between a life of luxury or a life of love. And and you're picking love. You have the power to pick love. You have the power to pick luxury.
You never will.
You never will. But that's the point. You know, like you could. The fact is you could.
I don't think I could. So the options being given,
You're making the choice
because of all of my past experiences,
right? So the past experiences are forcing you to make a choice.
Yeah. So if in my childhood, if I was like abused by a woman or something, or I just had really bad past relationships to the point where I've only ever seen the worst part of who a woman could be, and then so that just sours me to a point where my personality is like, yo, fuck chicks. I just become like misogynistic or whatever. Then I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'll take $1 million. And I would never choose love because of my past experiences.
I don't think that your past experiences automatically destine you for something. I think, no, your past experiences help you with that choice, but they don't ultimately define the choice.
Yeah. But then, so apart from that, so we're coming up on almost 40 minutes here, so wow. I'll be quicker with it. But the whole science behind how the brain works, too, gets rid of the whole free will aspect. And the only reason I'm even bringing up, because this tangent's completely insane, but the only reason I'm bringing it up is because, like, the whole destiny aspect is, like, destiny is supposed to be the predetermined path for you that you're fated towards through some sort of intent, like the universe or God chose it for you, and that's what makes it destiny, rather than everything's random. And it's, like, everything is random, but it's also completely ordered, and things are always going to happen that were ever going to happen. Like, as soon as the Big Bang happened, matter started interacting with each other and the laws of physics started bouncing, and it's like this reacts this way chemically and that reacts that way, and if it doesn't, it bounces off each other. And so all of these rules are sort of put into motion, so even though it's extreme chaos, the way that they interact with each other creates a sort of order. So it's like, if you were to have seen if somehow you had like this super brain and you could see from the Big Bang to now, you would be able to know everything that happens in the future. Like, you would know, you know, Carly down the street is going to choose to walk to school today instead of take her bike like she normally always does. And for her, that was a super random, spontaneous choice, and she never thought that she would make that choice. And it's so, like, different and new that she's deciding to do that. But if you knew everything, her whole life and her parents' life and all of her ancestors and everything that led to that one point on that one day in the morning, she was always going to walk, and you could predict that with 100% accuracy.
Well, I don't know about that.
If you knew the entire past.
But what about, you know, what if she wakes up that day and her knee is sore because she accidentally, or her foot is sore because she stubbed her toe the night before. Like,
if you were to know everything, you would know that her foot is sore and that she's not going to walk. And then, okay. Sorry, not to like shit all over the concept of free will, but it's just like people are manipulated by marketing and stuff like that. You can make someone want something that they otherwise wouldn't have wanted. Like in the movie Focus with Will Smith. One scene where the guy's just being given 55 as a number and subjectively having it like secretly, subliminally being put into his brain constantly. And then it gets to that point where he's like, who am I going to choose? And looks through the binoculars and then chooses number 55. And then it's like, that's what I bet. And it's like, oh, and then he gives him all the money and stuff. It's like you can, whatever you want and that you think you're making the decision of is, you know, there's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it. And you're making really good points.
For sure. And plus, it's also really depressing to think that you don't have any agency over your life. So it's good not to think that way. But from a technicality standpoint, I think we live in a deterministic universe. So it's like whatever decision that you've made your whole life and that you're going to make and the relationships that you're going to have and whatever decision, career decisions, whatever, that was always going to happen. Like if you were to live outside of time, it's like like if you were to exist outside of time, it's like when you're 98 years old, that's it. There's no different universe. It's like without time, it's like your entire life is right there and everything was going to happen. So it's like because of that, you don't have free will. So it's like that's not destiny just because you're always going to end up in whatever situation you're going to end up in. Or like even if you're like a 7-year-old kid and you die from a tsunami that wipes out like a million people. That's terrible and tragic, but it's like that was always going to happen. Where that little kid was going to be raised by their parents, where they didn't have enough money or whatever situation they were in, where they're on that island or whatever that got tsunami hit, or like to have been warned about it or whatever. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's extremely complicated and difficult, but it's like if you were to go into every single possible scenario, it's like the butterfly effect. It's like you can calculate and track how things happen around the world.
The Butterfly Effect, another movie I haven't seen.
You haven't seen anything, yeah. Man. Or I'm a cinephile. It's one or the other. I think it's a bit of both. I'm a cinephile.
Probably a bit of both, yeah.
And you haven't seen enough movies.
But you like horror movies. I do. I've gotten very into horror movies over the last couple of years.
What would be your favorite genre?
My favorite movie genre?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Would it be horror? Or would it be like rom-coms?
Comedies. No, I'm all in on comedies. Yeah.
Who's your favorite, Seth Rogen or Will Ferrell?
Rogen, for sure.
Yeah, he's dope.
He's a big fan of that guy.
Yeah. I can't do a good impression. I can't do it. Everyone knows his line. It sucks.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's good stuff. All right, anyway, on to the next one.
On to the next
one. What's your favorite song?
My favorite song?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or artist, if you can't choose a song. What would be your favorite artist? If you have to, you could do the whole...
Okay, gun to my head.
Yeah.
Here we go. Artist, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Nice. Yeah.
Song, Forrest Gump by Frank Ocean.
Nice. I have not heard that.
Oh, it's so Forrest good. Gump. It is so good. Is every like time I hear it, it just breaks me.
What kind of song is it? Is it
No, it's just like, it's light. It's pretty well, serious.
Forrest Gump. That's
well, I mean, it's based a lot on the movie, obviously. Sure. But he kind of sings from... perspective of someone singing to Forrest. Oh. It's cool.
It sounds cool.
It's really great. Oh god, it breaks me. You should. You really, really should. Frank Ocean's great. Yeah. Yep.
All right. So I was gonna switch it over to the half hour mark, but obviously we're a bit late into it now. So I'm just gonna jump straight into the opinion portion.
Ooh.
If you're ready.
Ready.
I'm gonna skip the ones that I can predict your answers to. And I'm only saying that I might be wrong, but I'll just say the first one anyway.
Sure.
What's your opinion on guns? Yeah, everybody is
very,
literally
very, very anti.
Yeah, it's like get rid of all the guns. Let's abolish
guns. Burn them all.
Okay, next one. What is your opinion on abortion?
I am pro-choice.
I also knew that.
the pro-choice of the child bearer.
Yeah, it shouldn't be the parents or anyone else.
No, not at all.
Completely.
There, I don't have a follow-up to that. That's just how it is, yeah.
Yeah, and what is your opinion on tattoos?
Love them. Dig them.
This
little guy, and I want more.
Are you going to make a sleeve for yourself?
I don't know, man. Maybe a half sleeve, but I...
You got to give yourself time.
I'm still thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, at least do a tattoo a year. That once. For me, it's every 2 years. That's
how I've been doing it. Not bad, yeah.
So
I wanted to get one this summer, but the time has escaped me. We have 2 weeks left.
Just do whatever. Does that have to be in the summer?
That's also true. I wanted to do it in the summer. I was aiming for that because I got this one last summer.
True. Okay, yeah.
So I was like, once, like, every summer, make it a thing.
What would you get?
Your face.
My probably. Face?
Yeah.
Damn! Get my face, but do it really warped and, like, super shaded. Because you know how, like, you see the bad tattoos where it's like, someone gets tattoos their baby onto their arm, and the baby's just
do
like,
people do that? Oh
my yeah, God. There's so many bad tattoos out there. I want it intentionally bad. I don't want it actually realistic. I want it where it's like,
yeah, like grotesque, just like different proportions.
Yeah, like the person who tattooed it, like, bent the page that had my face on it and then drew it all warped. But there's so many tattoo artists that do terrible jobs with faces.
I've never seen that.
So, I wouldn't recommend, I would recommend looking it up, but I wouldn't recommend getting a face as a tattoo. Yeah, this is super raunchy, but it's like, my friends are saying, like, if I, like, you know, pass out or whatever, they would, like, tattoo, like, one of their faces on my butt, like between my cheeks and the butthole, and then their mouth would be my asshole. It's like, that's so gross. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, so face tattoos, ain't a fan of. So on to the next one. What is your opinion on feminism?
Yeah, I am very much in favor of feminism. I consider myself a feminist intersectionally as well.
Yeah. And what does that mean, intersectionally?
So that means...
give me the diff.
Yeah. So... when you say you're an intersectional feminist, it means not only are you a feminist of women, but you're a feminist of women. You understand the intersections of feminism where it concerns other marginalized groups, not just women. You know, like you have to take into consideration
children and
Take into consideration like women of color and visible minority groups. You have to take into consideration women who don't identify in the gender binary. You take into consideration women of all races, ethnicities, backgrounds.
Like a class too,
or class, kind of age, everything, yeah. all of it. You have to take into account all of that because if you don't, you know, you fail them, you fail yourself. I think that everybody should be a feminist.
And specifics are important. I feel like obviously, I don't know where the future's going as far as the society goes, but like sooner than later. Like, I don't know what the time range is, maybe 50 years or something. We're going to have driverless cars everywhere. The whole planet's going to be covered with them because it saves the cost for companies. Sucks for everyone who drives, including myself. But
steering wheels become obsolete.
Hopefully not. It'll be.
Like I don't want them to. No, that's terrifying, yeah.
As a backup. But yeah, so it's like AI is going to become way better. And I feel like a huge place we could use it is in social situations, like as social workers, like as nurses for old folks home, stuff like that. So it's like, that would be a lot better than like someone who's a social worker who might have a prejudice or something, right? Where it's like trying to take in consideration or it's like, you're a woman who is like in a house because you're with an abusive relationship or something and now you like have to get away.
I think it's important for jobs like that who are interacting in those ways to not have those biases, not have those prejudices. Yeah. I think that of going into that job, they wouldn't. Maybe. You know, I think AI could eliminate it completely.
But you can't, like you may not even think you have a prejudice until you're
hanging out.
And then all of a sudden you notice that you're more friendly towards women. And I think, with AI, that would be gone. And people are like, we shouldn't replace social aspects because that's what makes people people, is interacting with other people. It's like, not really. I mean, you can have a pretty solid conversation with an artificial intelligence, depending on what the goal of the conversation is. So if it was a social worker, its goal would be to try and help you specifically, rather than imagine like an AI interviewer or something, I don't know. But I don't know if I'd
be a big fan of that.
You won't be a fan of AI?
I don't think so. I feel like it's different when you're with someone who, like when you're having a conversation with someone
who's conscious.
Who's conscious. Yeah. And who's not like pre-programmed. You know, I think that.
But like it wouldn't be a blank statement where it goes like, does not compute and like doesn't understand what you're saying half the time. It would have to be extremely advanced.
Extremely, extremely advanced. Like, and even
with
then.
With empathy meters. Like it could literally, I feel like we could create AI that's like at that level.
Yeah, maybe. Honestly, I'm
open to the idea, but not pro the idea.
Yeah, I think that's how I would. Yeah.
All right. So on to the next one. What is your opinion on space travel?
Dig it. Wish I could do it. I don't think I can.
Do you hope for the humanity to go into space in the future?
Yes. Yeah. Let's go party on Mars.
I know. I don't want to go first, but I want to go. But there's still risk. It's not like the second time there's no risk. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
But still.
Definitely pro space travel. Very much in favor of that. I love it. I love reading about it. I love listening to podcasts about it. Did you hear, man, on the weekend, on Sunday, they launched the Parker Solar Probe.
Hey, go Parker.
Go Parker. Yeah, we know Parker. Yeah. We know a couple Parkers, actually.
Who is this by? Is this NASA or is this
SpaceX? NASA, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so they launched this this space probe. It's going to actually orbit the sun. It's going to study the sun. It's going to figure out what makes the corona so hot.
Yeah.
Not the beer, the outer atmosphere of the sun. It comes with
names or something you can like say hello into.
Yeah, so it actually,
What were they putting on that chip?
So they put like a memory card in with like 4.1 million gigs of data on just people on Earth. I think that's just, you know, but like, I think that was it. I may be remembering it incorrectly.
Yeah.
The point is they did put data onto this probe and it is currently on its way to the sun. It's like a 6-year, 7-year mission.
Yeah.
So cool. Space travel is crazy. Space is nuts.
That's all I want for humanity. Get off the Earth, make new laws that make more sense. You know, like, cause there's so much, like, when they first colonized the Western world and then started making government and laws and shit, they were creating laws. Like, that's where the Second Amendment comes from, which made sense at the time in America for every person to be allowed to carry their own gun. Because it was a musket that you'd have to pour gunpowder into for a solid minute.
Sprinkle.
Yeah, and then you got to do it again and you stuff it down.
Yeah.
So, but now it's gone to a point where it's a complete detriment. You could load like 170 bullets into a machine gun and just go to town.
In like a split second. Like these kids are, fucking
all of the insane kids now. It's like kids have the least experience than anyone because they're kids. And they have complete access to murder machines. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
So it made sense in the time. Doesn't now. We're to go to Mars, make new laws that make sense for our time here.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I'd love it. Like everything would just make sense. I feel like. I don't think it would go into chaos. We wouldn't have, I don't know what kind of world it would be, if it would be, like, capitalist or communist or socialist or whatever. And I'm not pro anything either. I'm not pro communism and I'm not pro capitalism. There's clear flaws in all of it because we're currently living. I think capitalism is the better of the bunch, but there are so many flaws and you can see it, like, walking down Toronto, all the homeless people that are there. Clearly, this system doesn't work, you know? There are people who do not benefit from the aspect. And plus the whole concept of like, you get to make your own living or whatever, and then you could be the CEO of a company and make millions upon millions and millions of dollars and then have coworkers that are like making minimum wage they can't afford to live. It's like clearly there's something wrong
here. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But then, you know, it's manifest destiny. It's up to you to make your own shit. But it's like, not really. Only the extremely ambitious and aggressive can actually make it.
Yeah. And you're
born with those traits in you. So it's not something that people can just learn. It's like some people are made to thrive in capitalism and other people aren't.
And I also think that the people who are thriving in capitalism and rolling around in beds made of money are also products of the environments in which they were raised. You know, like
there is
a very clear divide in the kinds of people who are in those positions and the people who aren't, you know, and by and large, a lot of them are products of where they grew up,
if you're rich, you're going to end up rich.
Yeah.
Like, look at Trump. He's a terrible businessman. He has so many failed businesses behind him, but the only reason that he made it first when he made it in the beginning is because he was given a small loan of $1 million by
$1 million.
Yeah. What the fuck? But then aside from that, his business kept failing, but he became successful because he sold his name. And that's how he became a brand. But otherwise, he wouldn't have made it, and he shouldn't have. Like, clearly, he's the sickness of America.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the representation of the sickness of America, because obviously half the people voted for him. But either way,
half, right? Didn't he lose the popular vote?
He lost it, but by like 49-51 kind of thing. It was close. Okay. But yeah, and I shouldn't bash him too much, because I want to have people on who are pro-Trump. Yeah, he might hear it. Yeah, just assassinate me. Starts tweeting about it. I don't like this Joe Brand secret podcast guy. He talks
more
shit.
More like, yell.
More like, duh. Yeah. Guy's an idiot. Anyway, so we're getting close to the outro. I'm going to see if I can fit in one more.
Yeah.
Opinion question. We'll go from there. What is your opinion on the paranormal? Are ghosts real? Have you seen one yourself?
I've never seen a ghost.
Have you ever experienced chills down your spine?
I have never. I mean, unrelated. I have heard the creakings, but it's more just like, oh, wait, that was me. Yeah.
Yeah, true. These are my feet.
I feel like spirits exist. I feel like spirits can definitely exist.
Yeah, the concept.
The concept of spirits makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Intuitively, it's just like, yeah, okay, that checks out.
Yeah.
I don't believe in ghosts. I don't think... I believe in ghosts.
In the see-through people walking around.
In the see-through, I don't think I believe in that.
Do you believe in demons?
In demons?
Yeah. Because that goes with spirituality from a religious aspect. It's like spirits are supposed to be the concept that the energy in our brain continues after we die. So it's like we die, but then it's not a physical mass. So like I don't know how the personality aspect would work. Because you wouldn't be you, because your memories are stored in your brain. It's the meat-sack aspect. Mm-hmm. But the spirit, the essence of you, or whatever, right? It maybe has an imprint.
Well, that's not...
It's like an energy source. So it can leave your body as soon as you die, and then exist on a different plane.
Yeah.
Different universe, for all we know. But then the aspect of demons is that now you got these malicious creatures that never had a body to begin with, but they can infect other people by pretending to be ghosts, like loved ones that are passed. And then you communicate with them through a Ouija board, and then they possess you and kill you. Do all kinds of terrible stuff.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah. There's not enough documented.
Yeah. I recently saw Hereditary.
Yeah.
On a related note.
Yeah.
Not recently.
But. And same thing happens there. Person gets possessed, cuts her own head off.
That's a spoiler.
Well, you know what? Go see the movie. You'll have no idea what I'm talking about, and hopefully you forget I said that.
It's really good. It's really, really good. I was terrified. I saw it by myself.
I highly recommend it, but I'm never going to see it again. That's what I tell them.
I think I'll probably see it again. I feel like I missed a lot. There's a lot of foreshadowing. I was on Reddit, I think, the day after I saw it. And I was reading about all this different, like, foreshadowing that was happening during the movie. Like, apparently, if you look at the...
Yeah, yeah. I
shouldn't spoil this anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay. but there's, like, a symbol on the post.
Oh, crap. Yeah, yeah.
On the chest.
Okay.
But that's contextually unrelated. Nobody knows what you're saying. I don't know. You need context.
If you want, look at the chalkboard in the classroom. I'm not.
Oh, say that too. Else. Yeah. Yeah, true.
Just that's all.
How can people even catch that?
It's so tough to catch. I didn't. Right. I found it.
Rent the movie and then pause it.
Yeah, just basically.
But anyway, okay. So we are now in the outro.
Do we have time for one more question?
I can try. I'll be really quick.
I'll be really quick in my answer.
Okay. What is your opinion on veganism?
On veganism?
Yeah.
Do what you want. I mean. No. Honestly, I've been actually thinking about going vegetarian for a while. It's more just like the logistics of it, and I don't think that I would have an issue in looking for things to eat or anything like that.
I would find vegetarianism to be extremely easy compared to veganism.
Yeah,
because you just have to make sure there's no meat. With veganism, it's like you don't know if there's egg in that bread. Like it's so much harder. It's insane.
I know a few like people who are vegans only. They're fine.
And they still
it's
do
just
it.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's,
there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, my take is, do what you want. I think that there is an ethical argument to be made for all of it, and
of course, yeah, that's the main thing is that what we're doing is disgusting.
And it's also, it's also like from a health standpoint too. So
that's true. Processed shit ain't good. Pumping steroids into these animals we're chewing on is not good.
Yeah,
you know, little sixth graders are growing beards. Something's wrong. McDonald's, stop it. Yeah, anyway. So we're in the final minute before this ends. Is there any plug that you'd like to insert now?
Of course.
First, shall we reveal your identity? We haven't done it since the first guest, so it's completely up to you. It's allowed, of course. This is in the end, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Only people who are interested are listening at this point. You can have the honors. All right. Guest number 9's name.
Number 9?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done a lot. Guest number 9 is Xerxes. And what's your last name? It's like I should know
Suchek.
That. Suchek. Xerxes Suchek. And what plug would you like to insert?
So I have working on a little podcast with my good pal Samantha.
Oh, I think she mentioned it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, really? It's called What's Up With You. It's literally about nothing. It's just going to be us recording ourselves, hanging out. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's a great hobby to have, just talking.
Yeah, it'll be okay. Fun.
Now in the final 5 seconds, what is a piece of advice you'd give?
Be kind to others, pack extra Band-Aids, go Leafs, go.